A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 6th of August, Thursday class, 2020. We will be going through the Heart Sutta. We are at page 174, lesson 34. So this lesson also quite interesting. I think the emphasis is on the opening verse of a sutta. Normally Mahayana verse, they will have an opening verse to reflect how difficult is it to be born a human and how difficult it to really encounter the true Buddha Dhamma. So it's always stated in their opening verse, is it the unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma. It's difficult to encounter, even in hundreds of millions of aeons. Then they will advise you to recite it this way: I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this is the typical verse for opening a sutta, so that we can develop the faith, the understanding, not to be complacent. As usual, we were off the light so that you all can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation before we continue with the invocation of the devas, followed by the sharing of the Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at page 170, lesson 34. So as usual, you only need to relax and maintain awareness. Then you will have the ability to realize the silent mind. The silent mind within is your true mind, and that one can meditate. That's why sometimes we also call it the meditative state of mind. It's basically just the awareness nature within, just aware before the knowing. So relax body and mind, completely at ease. Then maintain awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just aware, aware, aware. Until whatever thinking or the mundane sankhara activity slow down. Until it becomes very quiet. When you can perceive the silence without thought, without sankhara, that is your meditative mind. So to meditate, you must first realize that mind. So that mind is not difficult to realize. But you must have faith. You must understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. If you want to realize that mind, your thought must stop. You must be able to relax, maintain awareness, so that the thought will slow down until finally it becomes very quiet and it will cease. That's how you realize it. So the awareness nature, when you can stabilize it, then it can meditate. It can understand many things. That's what meditation is all about. It's not what you think. It's not what people tell you. The moment you use thought to do things, then you create the egoic mind, the thinking, the activity of mind. So how can you meditate? The moment thought is active, you are no longer aware. You cannot know what is going on. You are already thinking, lost in thought. So thought-based meditation has this problem. Whenever thought is active, actively meditating, that itself is creating more thought. When you create more thought, how can you be in a state of sati or awareness? You don't have the ability. The clarity of mind is not there. So understand this. So relax, aware. The first two support. Then the third support is 24-hour awareness. maintain whatever awareness for as long as you can. And finally, the last support is trust. So this way, you can develop the meditation very easily. Then your mind settle down very fast. You become very quiet, very tranquil, very fast. To assist you, you must develop the spiritual faculties first. The five spiritual faculties are Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Sadda and Virya can be developed through understanding who the Buddha is and how special a being he is and how unique his teaching is. Then after that, he will drive you to cultivate. Then you will develop the training to be mindful, to be aware, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, leading to heedfulness. When you are ever mindful, constantly meditative, you are heedful. So that's what meditation is all about. All the method and technique that they tell you, they are just initial skillful means to train the mind to be aware, to be in a state of sati. But not all methods and technique and skillful means are the correct one. Some they lead to samatha, concentration, focusing. They are not for you to train your mind to be aware, then to stabilize it. So all this understanding you need to develop on your own initially so that you can meditate. So with this understanding, I will let you meditate on your own. Today's topic, as we have gone through earlier, is supposed to discuss on the verse for opening a sutta. This one is based on a typical Mahayana sutta. So I'll read to you the opening verse. This one is very meaningful and very beautiful. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this shows the profoundness of this teaching and how rare this teaching is. It's not only profound and wonderful, the Dhamma, but there is no other comparable, unsurpassed. And this one is really difficult to encounter, even in hundreds of millions of eons. So now we have the condition to see it, hear it, receive and uphold it. We should determine and vow to fathom this Tathagata's true meaning. So for those who have the understanding, their faith become very strong. Reciting the above opening verse with great sincerity and faith is very important, because it will remind us clearly of the following. So as a cultivator, we will be mindful of these three things. The Mahayana explained it very well. In Mandarin, it's always recited as Zhen Sen Nan De, means rare is birth as a human being. To become a human, to be born a human, is indeed very rare. Later on, we will go through the turtle's egg in the great ocean analogy to understand how rare and how difficult it is to be born as a human. Then the second part is, rare is the opportunity of hearing the true Dhamma. So the first part is Ren Sen Nan De. Second part is Fo Fa Nan Wen. So rare is birth as a human being. Then even more rare is the opportunity to hear the true Dhamma, to encounter the Buddha Sasana. The last one is dangerous is the delusion of mind. If you can see this, you will become very serious about cultivation. You will develop the urgency. So, seeing the danger of self-delusion is a wake-up call. If you don't want your life to be in a mess anymore, you better strive on heedfulness to realize this teaching, this understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. Otherwise, life after life, living being will suffer when they come without this understanding. Then the next section is the turtle eggs in the great ocean analogy. In the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, Nipansing, the Buddha used the metaphor of a blind turtle in a vast ocean to explain how difficult it is to be born as a human being and at the same time to have the chance to hear the true Dhamma. Suppose there is a turtle egg floating in the vast ocean, and this turtle egg has a hole the size of which is just slightly larger than the head of a turtle to pop into. There is a long-lived sea turtle in the ocean. Once every 100 years, this turtle will surface and come out from the bottom of the ocean and pop his head into the ocean surface. And the probability of it hitting the hole of the turtle egg is the probability of being born as a human being and to hear the Buddha Dhamma. That is, to be able to be born a human and have the chance to hear the Dhamma is just as hard as the blind turtle to encounter the turtle's egg in the vast ocean and let his head go through the hole of this turtle egg. Therefore, do not be heedless anymore, so that you will not lose sight of this great window of opportunity of already having the special condition to be born a human being and the great condition to hear the true Dhamma. Yet, not taking it seriously to diligently cultivate to awaken to it is going to be a real waste. If one misses this window, it may be hundreds of millions of eons later before one can have another such condition or opportunity. So if you are to reflect sincerely, deeply, you will definitely become very serious. You will like somebody who suddenly wake up to this truth. Rare it is to be born a human, even rare to have the opportunity to be born during the sasana and to have the opportunity to hear the true Dhamma. These two conditions for it to come into place is really, really rare. So knowing this, you must not miss this window. Yeah, this is the best window for awakening. This window may last a few thousand years, but how many births as a human being can you take over this period? And it has to be this planet as a human, because this is the planet where the sasana of Sakyamuni Buddha is still around. So all these conditions are really indeed very rare, not easy to come by. So like I always share with Kayamita, for each and every one of you to have this condition to be born a human being, and to have the condition to be born during the Buddha Sasana, and yet have the condition to become a Buddhist and come into contact with this teaching, is indeed not by accident. It is a very, very rare opportunity. And you don't seize hold of this golden window of opportunity, you are bound to regret. But once you miss this window, it's going to be a long, long haul before another window of opportunity can arise. So this is something that we as cultivator must develop the faith, the understanding, and diligently walk this way. If you have sincerity and faith, then you persevere, the way will be there. Of course, you need people to guide you. And we have the teaching. We have already had the understanding. So you will just follow exactly what is to be done. You will become beautiful from now onwards. Okay, we will read on. The next section is 1.2. What is heedfulness or apamada? Apamada is a Pali word. The Pali word for heedfulness is apamada. So there is a question. What is heedfulness or apamada? And I answered. I said, the importance of heedfulness is clearly expounded by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23. The Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead, and the heedless are as if dead. So do not be heedless, and do strive on with heedfulness always. So based on this Dhammapada verse 21, you will understand the great importance of heedfulness. Because the moment you are without heedfulness, you become heedless, and the heedless are as if dead. But the moment you become heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Your heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So heedfulness or apamada is very important. Then I define what heedfulness is. To be heedful is to have the silent mind in heedfulness. So apamada is actually the silent mind in heedfulness. I will explain the word heedfulness later, but you have to understand it is the silent mind that is heedful, attentive, with alertness, no laxity, diligent and vigilant, to develop the meditation, to liberate the mind. So apamada or heedfulness is the cornerstone of all skillful mental states. And it is of such importance that the Buddha stressed it in his parting words, or the last exhortation before his parinibbana. The Buddha said, transient are all conditioned things and phenomena. Therefore you must strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena sampadeta. So here, apamadena means heedfulness. Sampadeta means strive on with heedfulness. So transient are all conditioned thing and phenomena. The Pali word is, I think, I can't recall the Pali word, but it's something to do with Vayuvaya Sankara, something like that. All of Sankara, they are impermanent. That's why transient are all conditioned things and phenomena. Then Apamada Sutta, this one is very important. But before we go to Apamada Sutta, maybe I will explain what Apamada is. Apamada or heedfulness is derived from Dhammapada verse 23. After verse 21, there is verse 22, then verse 23. And these three verses, verse 21, 22, 23, They are the first three of the Abhamadavaka under the Dhammapada. The Buddha has spoken 423 Dhammapada sayings. These are truths that are evergreen. Then there is a section on Appamada or heedfulness. The Buddha called it the Appamadavaga or the section on heedfulness. They are from verse 21 to verse 40. And these are very important verses. If you understand verse 21, 22, 23, you will understand the Buddha's emphasis and his teaching. Even before his parinibbana, the last exhortation to the monk, he still reminded the monk, strive on with heedfulness. Yeah. And Dhammapada verse 1 always confirmed, very, very important for you to develop heedfulness. The heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful, never die. If you can't develop heedfulness, you become heedless. And the heedless are as if they spiritually dead. You don't stand a chance. Then the Buddha continued with Dhammapada verse 22. He said, distinctly understand the big difference between heedfulness and heedlessness. The wise one, they were intent on heedfulness. And by doing so, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas. This means they will rejoice in the realm of the enlightened beings. Aryas are enlightened beings during the time of the Buddha. Enlightened beings are called noble ones or Aryas because they are very noble in all aspects of life. They are very noble in the way they understand life. That's the reason why they have the embodiment of noble eightfold path. They have right view. They understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. So they have perfect understanding of life. And they are very noble in every aspect of life. Not only the understanding part with right view, they are also very noble in the way they express themselves, in the way they communicate with people, in the way they act, and in the way they conduct themselves, arise their thought. They are really, really noble. That's the reason why Noble Eightfold Path starts with right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. In that sense, they are very noble in the way they live life. That's why they have right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then they are very diligent. They cultivate the four right effort constantly. Then they are ever mindful. Then they stabilize this mindfulness until it becomes collected and unwavering. That's why they have samadhi. So this embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path factor make them unique, make them noble. That's why they are called noble ones, enlightened ones. Then Dhammapada verse 23 confirm what heedfulness is. Under Dhammapada verse 23, the Buddha said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one means you hold on to these two cultivation to be ever mindful, constantly meditative, then you will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana, means enlightenment in the here and the now. And this is what Appamada is. It consists of two parts, constantly meditative, ever mindful. So to develop heedfulness, we have to develop these two cultivation. So we have to start with mindfulness, because unless you are mindful, aware, you cannot be heedful. Yes, to be heedful, you need to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. So ever mindful means you start by training your mind to be mindful first. You relax and maintain awareness so that you can realize the mindfulness within, the silence within, the awareness within, so that you can realize your true nature, your self nature, your awareness nature, your true mind. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes ever mindful until your mind enters the deep. When your mind enters the deep, means your mind is ever mindful, all the time mindful. Whatever you do, there is mindfulness. Every moment of seeing is in sati, mindful. Every moment of hearing is in sati, where the mind that hears is in sati. Where every moment of smell, taste, tactile, and thought process is in sati. That's what mindfulness is all about. If you are not mindful, you cannot be ever mindful. If you are not ever mindful, you cannot be heedful. You cannot be in a meditative state. Because as you live life, your senses are very active. If you are not mindful, you are not heedful, you are not sensitive enough, you cannot cope with life. There are your senses, the sixth sense, they arise and pass away so fast. They distract you, delude you, condition you into delusion, to grasp, to cling, and to hold, or to the phenomenal world of consciousness, onto all the things that arise, thinking that they are real, that you can own them, you can have them. And this is self-delusion, sakkāyādiṭṭhi. And because of this self-delusion, or sakkāyādiṭṭhi, it will condition wrong thought. It will condition negativity of mind state that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And because of that, you become heedless. And when you are heedless, the mental hindrance are abound. The reason being, without the opposite five spiritual faculty, you cannot be heedful. You cannot be mindful. And because of that, you become heedless. And the moment you are heedless, that five mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state arise. That's the reason why the Buddha called it the mental hindrance. But they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. That's why you cannot be peaceful. You cannot be aware. You cannot be with the moment. You will be lost in thought, heedlessly thinking, worrying, heedlessly planning, thinking, and worrying about life, so much so you never leave life. You can never be in the moment. You are constantly lost in thought. Your mundane mind is so active. Your sankhara activity is so active. You are so conditioned. Your habitual tendency, your delusion, your ignorance, all this create entanglement in you. So understanding all this, you should determine strongly to be heedful, to be mindful, to cultivate. The moment I understand this teaching, the Four Noble Truths, I never turn back. I went all out to cultivate. That's the reason why I always say it's a full-time job. It's not something that you can be complacent with. You think when you like to do only you do, you believe you have a lot of time. Most people procrastinate. They say, wait till I retire, wait till I don't need to work. So all this is what the heedless thinking mind will arise as the wrong thought. If you see the urgency, you will never procrastinate. You will never become that way. You will determine with faith understanding and strive on the heedfulness to persevere and awaken. Okay, with that we can go on to the next one. The next one is Appamadavagga. Oh, sorry, Appamada Sutta. So this is a special sutta on heedfulness. So if you listen to this sutta, it will help you to understand many things and to see the beauty of having this heedfulness. The heedful never die. The enlightened one is always heedful, aware within, ever mindful, constantly meditative. Their mind are tranquil, serene, and just aware within. They are always in the state of awareness, awakening. They're no longer asleep. That's why they are called the enlightened one, awakened one. The difference between the enlightened one or the awakened one and the deluded one is the deluded one are still sleeping. They may be conscious of life, but they are sleeping in inverted comma because they didn't have the clarity to understand all this. They are still in the dream state. There is no clarity. So Appamada Sutta, I will read to you, and hopefully you can develop the understanding. At Savatthi, as he was sitting on one side, King Pasenandi of Kosala said to the Blessed One. The Blessed One here is the Buddha. He asked the Buddha, "Is there, Lord, any one quality that keeps both kinds of benefits or merits secure? Beneficial in this life and beneficial in lives to come." So in this sense, King Pasenandi is quite wise. He knows how to ask this question. He wants to know, is there a quality of mind that can enable you to keep both kind of benefits and wholesomeness secure, both in this life and in the life after? The Buddha replied, "There is one quality, great king, that keeps both kind of benefits and wholesomeness secure, benefit in this life and benefit in life to come." Then King Pasenandi asked, "But what, Lord, is that one quality?" So the Buddha replied, "It is heedfulness, great king. Just as the footprint of all living beings with legs can be encompassed by the footprint of an elephant, and the elephant's footprint is declared to be supreme among them in terms of its great size. In the same way, heedfulness is the one quality that keeps both kinds of benefits secure, benefit in this life and benefit in life to come." So this one is an analogy. Among all of mind states that you can arise to live life, the most supreme is heedfulness. To be in the state of Appamada, ever mindful, constantly meditative. You can have that mind state, you are heedful, and you are destined for enlightenment. And that is the most supreme mind state. And that will guarantee you wholesomeness or benefits in this life secure, and all your life to come also secure. Because without heedfulness, you cannot see, you are like blind. The constantly meditative, diligently cultivate, they will surely awaken. Then you have to be ever mindful to cultivate, to be sensitive, to have the ability to observe, to understand, and to awaken, so that you can straighten your views, so that you can understand clearly what life is. Who are you? What are you? and observe all of nature's phenomena, their universal characteristics, all of the nature's law that governs life and existence. You can observe them, understand them, and awaken to them. Then without having any more wrong view or delusion, you will understand life. Then you will know how to live life. Then life becomes beautiful, meaningful, and wonderful. Then you become like completely transformed. You have awakened to the truth. You have liberated your mind, no longer deluded. That's why you will never suffer anymore. You will never revert back to the heedless way. Because you can see the beauty of heedfulness, the clarity, the big difference between heedful living and heedless living. Heedless living leads to suffering, misery, confusion, sorrow, lamentation, misery. Whereas heedful living is so beautiful. There is clarity, there is clear awareness, there is wisdom and understanding. You hold the embodiment of all the noble qualities a living being can ever have. You are very noble in all aspects of life. You hold the embodiment of all the noble eightfold path practice. That's why heedfulness is so supreme, so beautiful. Then the Buddha continued, he said, that is what the Blessed One said. Having said that, the well gone, means the Buddha, the teacher said further. Now you listen, this one is the best. For one who desire long life, good health, beauty, heaven and noble birth, lavish delight one after another, the wise one praised heedfulness in performing deeds of merits. If you don't have heedfulness, you can never have those type of karmic inheritance or parami. And without those karmic inheritance and parami, you cannot have long life, you cannot have good health, you cannot have beauty, you cannot have the life in the heavens, and you cannot have noble birth, including all the lavish delight one after another. So the center that you have to develop is heedfulness, apamada. So the wise one praise heedfulness in performing deeds of merits. When heedful and wise, you achieve both kinds of benefits. Benefit in this life and benefits in lives to come. By breaking through to your benefits, you are called the enlightened one, the wise one. To be mindful or in sati is to be in the state of relaxed inner awareness or attentiveness without thought. So this part is very easy to understand. I read again. Make sure you understand this. To be mindful or in sati means to be in the state of awareness. Is to be in the state of relaxed inner awareness or attentiveness. When you are attentive without thought, that is sati. Without thought, you are already aware. That's why you don't have to practice awareness. Who practice? The thought practice. When the thought is active, how can you be aware or mindful? You can only be mindful when there is no sankhara activity, no thought process. That's why relax, maintain awareness, and don't do anything. When you are in the state of relaxed inner awareness, you are already in sati before the knowing or without thought. So relax inner awareness without thought is very important. To be heedful is to be aware or mindful before the knowing, to understand the truth and to see things as they are. When the mind is silent, mindful and attentive without thought, then it is in the state of sati. The silent mind with inner awareness to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, thus developing the wisdom of Panya, is heedfulness. The opposite of heedfulness is heedlessness. And when one is heedless, one is hardly aware or mindful. Then one only merely becomes conscious of life, because one is too busy and heedlessly thinking, planning and worrying about life, so much so one totally miss out on life. One never really lives life because one is so preoccupied with one's thinking or thought processes. Hence the heedlessness. We are constantly lost in thought most of the time, if not throughout the day. You can check yourself before you know the meditation. The understanding of the importance of heedfulness and mindfulness. You are most of the time heedless. You think a lot. You don't even know that there is a mind state that is without thought. Like the fish, they think the whole environment is water. They can never imagine that you can stay on land where there is no water. Then there is only air, but there is space where there is no air. So space where there is completely empty, no air, nothing, is like our mind, where it is without thinking, without sankhara, without all the emotion, mind states. That is the true mind, so beautiful. Without thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, nothing. Just sankhara activity is thought and emotion. That's how you become confused, deluded. That's how suffering comes to be. So without heedfulness, without awareness, you cannot understand all this, you cannot see all this. That shows the importance of heedfulness, apamana. So I will read on. The opposite of heedfulness is heedlessness, and when one is heedless, one is hardly aware and only merely conscious of life, because one is too busy and heedlessly thinking, planning and worrying about life, so much so one totally miss out on life. One never really lives life because one is so preoccupied with one's thinking or thought process, hence the heedlessness. We are constantly lost in thought most of the time, if not throughout the day. Heedful living allows us to be ever mindful of all mind states and mental intention behind all our actions, speech and thought process. This will enable us to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right speech, right action and right thought. We are following the advice of the Buddha to apply the appropriate four right effort to avoid all evil, do good and purify one's mind. Heedfulness will prevent us from being heedless throughout the day, so that the five mental hindrance of mind can be overcome. And finally, eradicated or rooted out. Heedfulness will also enable us to trace the origination factors of the five mental hindrances of mind, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, when they arise due to one's reaction of mind to sense experience. By understanding how they arise via wisdom, we will be able to retrospectively reverse it. With heedfulness, we will be able to put the teaching to test and witness the four noble truth, the law of dependent origination or paticca samuppada or dwelling, occurring within our own form and mind. With every moment of mental activity, heedfulness will also enable us to see things as they are via our sati and samadhi, leading to wisdom or panya. When one is heedful and mindful with inner awareness most of the time, one can see everything clearly. Because the silent mind is not distracted by anything and is not preoccupied with any heedless thinking or emotion. So it can see things as they are. It can be aware of thought, mental intention, emotion, fear, etc. It can also be aware of all the movements, like the moving car, all of our physical action and movement, etc. When mindfulness stabilizes, it will develop into a continuous flow. Then your seeing or awareness will be so different because it can be aware of all the of life, physical, mental, and nature's flow. The mind is just silent and just aware. And with all phenomenal, sorry, I read again, this is called specific phenomenal awareness. The mind is just silent and aware, one with all phenomena without thought, and always mindful or heedful. When one's mind is no longer preoccupied with all the heedless thinking, then there is great clarity and one can see very clearly. Just like the saying goes, truth is everywhere, why can't we see? For those who see, they always see. My nature came out with this saying in the year 1989, after this nature awakened. That is, when one is heedful, there is no thought, only the senses are aware. So there is a lot of clarity, and everything is so clear, so pristine. Without thought, there is no evils, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no selfishness and emotion, or emotional negativity, etc. So develop a silent mind with inner awareness to be heedful always. For more detail on heedfulness, please refer to the recorded talk. But this summary is better. You listen to the recorded talk, maybe it's a bit long, almost 2-3 hours, I think. So this aspect of heedfulness is very well summarized under this chapter. So you can spend time to read through it, to listen to it. Every time I explain, it is very different. If your cultivation has reached another level, you will understand the deeper meaning. Because all this are very beautiful summary of the teaching. They came from my nature's understanding. Otherwise, it's not easy for living being to develop them. Because this type of sharing and teaching, you cannot find in any book. Nobody can teach you this. This must come from the cultivator who have the understanding, the realization, and understand what heedfulness is, what mindfulness is, what sati is, and how when it stabilizes, it becomes ever mindful, constantly meditative. Then how you function as a human being, everything is with clarity, understanding. Without all this, you cannot put them in words. You cannot explain all this. Okay, so hopefully this can help you all. This time around, I think many Kaya Mita will awaken once you read through again and listen to it attentively. Okay, we continue. There is a question. Somebody asked this question. How to overcome anger? So this one, I will read to you my answer. Then you listen attentively because it can help you. When there is anger arising, don't do anything. Just be aware. Don't think. Then silence your mind sit back to relax. After a while, you will come to realize the agitation due to the stirring of your mind into anger. Via your heedlessness and delusion, they will slow down. Then all of a sudden, because you don't do anything, you just maintain awareness, it will become completely still. Then you will come to understand with joy clearly that if you don't react to stir the mind, you don't create thinking or thought, then you are in your original natural state of mind, which is peaceful, calm, and aware within before the stirring. The analogy of a pool of still water will help illustrate the point. It's stirred by a falling branch or a stone thrown into it. The ripple will start to form. The wind and the weather may also create waves. They are like your fear and anger appearing in your mind state due to external sense experience of stimuli. A mind that is heedful, wise, and constantly aware or meditative will not be stirred by any delusion. Hence, it will be very calm and peaceful always. As habitual tendencies developed over the years are difficult to eradicate or root out or do away with, one will need to be heedful most of the time throughout their daily life to stabilize the wisdom to deal with the strong habitual negative tendency. When the spiritual faculty of samadhi and enlightenment factor of equanimity are there, then one will no longer be entangled. The mind that is transformed will not react anymore, and instead it will just flow, echo and flow via wisdom. When you try to share and there is no condition, but then others want to argue and want to be right, then you will just say, okay, you are right, and let them be right, because they don't understand duality as yet. So just let things be. One must ask the question, right and wrong is a duality, right according to whom? And why must one defend oneself? It is because of the ego, the self-delusion, the sacrality that condition one's selfishness, emotional negativity, and fear. Understand that things are just the way they are, no right and no wrong. We are seeing things as they are. Grasping and clinging to sense experience via delusion is the cause of suffering. Only wisdom liberates and frees the mind, nothing else. Always remember this. With wisdom, one will be able to understand and appreciate life more and more. So without wisdom, you cannot free, you cannot liberate. So mindfulness and heedfulness is very important. When you are mindful, heedful, and aware, you are sensitive, you can understand many things. You just have to silence your mind and be with all mind state. Then you understand. Your all mind state that arise, they are conditioned arising, causal phenomena, dependent originating, like the Buddha explained. And they have the universal characteristics of impermanent because they come and they go, dependent on condition, they arise. And when condition cease to be, it cease to be. So whatever emotion, whether fear or anger, or hatred, envy, jealousy, or whatever negativity of mind state and emotion, when they arise through your own self-delusion, your own reaction to sense experience, when you want things your way, which is not nature's way, this emotion will rise. Then it will condition your agitation, your restlessness of mind, your suffering, your misery, your evil roots, make you evil, emotional, miserable. That's how people land themselves into trouble. Sometimes they develop depression. They suffer. They become so miserable. They are so confused, afflicted. So all this, if you are mindful, you can see them. Then if you can see them clearly, you will be able to straighten your view, to liberate yourself, to free yourself, not to be deluded anymore, not to get yourself entangled anymore. So mindfulness is very important. Heedfulness is very important. Then when you are able to be aware, don't do anything. Just be with whatever mind state or emotion that arise, maybe anger or fear, then find out what happened. The power of mindfulness, awareness. The moment you are heedful and aware, everything ceases to be. Because this is wisdom energy. It has no thought, it has no delusion, it cannot think. That's why it's just aware, silent. That all this dependent originating mind state without further wrong thought, it can never continue. That's why it will dissipate, slow down, and finally cease. Then when it ceases, you will return to your original state of true mind before the stirring, before the emotion arise. Then you realize your true mind is already the meditative mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the awareness within. Then you realize technically you don't have to do anything. You only need to have that understanding to stay silent, and you will realize that beautiful state. Then when you realize that beautiful state, you will awaken. All this doesn't mean anything. Yeah, all these mind states are impermanent. They come and they go. You attach, cling, and give meaning, you suffer. You become deluded. You entangle yourself. So when you understand all this and see all this clearly, you will not be heedless anymore. You will not be foolish and deluded anymore. Then you will come to a great awakening, realization that all mind states are impermanent. When you attach, cling, and feed it with more negativity of thinking, thought, energy, it will continue to torment you, make you miserable. That's why sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkhang. All of sankhara is impermanent, and yet you go and think, create more thinking. And when you create more thinking, what happened to you? It's like the banana stem. You create more and more layers. So, at the center of it, when you peel and peel and peel and peel, it's empty. The essence is empty. That is what your true mind is all about. Empty nature of existence, no reality. That's why sankhara anicchang, and you don't have wisdom, it leads to suffering. Sankhara dukkhang. Sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkhang. All sankhara leads to suffering because it's impermanent, no reality. Like you try to analyze something, reason. No amount of analysis and reasoning can give you the answer. The answer to life is very simple, like the Buddha said. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions, which means the reality of the moment is already set, fixed. Condition set, condition like that, things be like that. It cannot be otherwise. This is nature's way. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. You will become afflicted, miserable. So no amount of analysis and reasoning can help, can change the situation. Why is God so unfair? Why is this person doing this to me? Why my life is like that? You cannot ask this type of question because The reality is suchness. Whatever you have gone through as life, you already introduced the causes and conditions. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. But these are the karmic conditioning that you introduce. And they will flow. They will unfold. That's why mighty nature rolling by. Everything arises because of nature's law, dependent originating condition arising. Only mighty nature rolling by, no reality, hey no you, hey no me. Everything is just the way it is. That's why I learned to see things as they are, accord and flow. Then you won't suffer. You won't be afflicted. When you resist, there is no harmony. When you resist, there is no wisdom. Because you can't accept the reality of the moment. You cannot understand the Buddha's teaching. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. This sentence is so powerful. When you arise that, you immediately awaken, I can assure you. But because most human beings are not mindful, not heedful, that's why it is not easy to have that understanding. Words are still words. But when you have the Dhamma, words become beautiful. Words become beautiful Dhamma. Yeah. Without understanding, words are just words. So this aspect of cultivation needs to be understood. The Dhamma is to be awakened to be realized each for themselves. It's not to be learned as a knowledge. Knowledge cannot free the mind. Knowledge create more ego. Knowledge create more what they call self-centeredness. The emotion or what they call the personality. The attachment. Because knowledge binds. The knowledge that you have will boost your ego. So all this need to be understood. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is an understanding, an awakening, a realization. Whereas knowledge is through the thinking process, the thought process. That one is knowledge. And knowledge is always rigid. Because knowledge creates views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. So all this, you will come to know, you will come to understand as you meditate, as you cultivate. So these are very beautiful teaching. Okay, we move on. Okay, part two, meditation. Or part three, meditation, yeah. So this part is also very interesting. There's a question. He said, during meditation, I heard and perceived the branches of the tree, and I returned to Anapanasati. But when the thought regarding the falling branches arise, may I have your comment? So this was the question. Then I answer that sister. This is what you are supposed to see in your meditation. Because there is this subtle grasping going on within your mind. Meditation is to uncover all the unhealthy delusion and unwholesome subtle attachment. So this is for you to see, to understand. This is the part that many cultivators are going through. Earlier on Song Day All, I teach them how to see. Well, even your subconscious release, your dream, your whatever sankhara activity. Especially Alicia now, she is going through this cultivation, this process. Everything is for you to learn. When you are mindful and aware, why this thought, not other thought? Even my daughter is learning all this. So this is what meditation is all about. So I read again. Meditation is to uncover all the unhealthy delusion or wrong view and the unwholesome subtle attachment, craving and clinging to what we perceive with every moment of our sense experience via our trained mind in heedfulness or silent inner awareness, to understand what is going on in our own form and mind, how we are conditioned into thinking and reaction of mind to arise the like and dislike via our own self-delusion or sakayadhiti and habitual tendency. Why do these thoughts arise and not other thoughts? We also see clearly how we are conditioned into grasping and clinging, leading to suffering and misery caused by our own self-delusion, selfishness and emotional negativity, which are mainly the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, and they are the roots of all evil. In this particular case, there is this curiosity of mind due to ignorance that conditions your grasping to what you perceive earlier, which is the falling branches. This is attachment to one of our five aggregates of form and mind, and in this case, it is the perception aggregate. That's why it becomes memory, understand that? Whatever you perceive, when you attach and cling, it becomes memory. Then, like I said, your curiosity, because you are curious, you want to think, how come the branch can fall? Then, what is that sound? What is that thing that I can recall? So all this. But when you are completely silent and aware, it's different. Because all this you recollect through the thought is still at the thought level. So all this you will start to understand. But when you can silence your mind, it becomes very different. Then I read on, you will understand. We will go into the dwelling. So the first of the dependent origination link is avijja paccaya sankhara, that is dependent on ignorance. Sankhara activity, which is mental thinking or activity, comes to be. Hence the thought or thinking about the falling branch arise. This is witnessing how your mind functions, and via all this heedfulness training, you will also witness all the other Buddha's teaching, like the Four Noble Truths. You will see suffering, the cause of its arising, which is craving born of self-delusion. Then when you can just relax, maintain awareness, you can see how it sees. Then if you have the wisdom and the understanding, you can also realize the Third Noble Truth, Nibbana, then the path that leads to the awakening, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Power, so you will come to see them clearly through mindfulness and awareness. Then you will also witness the dwelling, Paticca Samuppada, in your own life experience, via your daily mindfulness to understand who you are and what you are, including how you function as a human being, how the sense door consciousness and the stirring of the mind comes to be, etc. Means when you input the content of consciousness, why you act according to memory, how you go in to your views, opinion and conditioning and belief system. That's the reason why you will awaken and come to understand acting according to memory is not acting at all. So all this you will understand. So the only way to act is following Noble Eightfold Path, act with wisdom, right understanding. I will read on that part just now. How the sense door consciousness and stirring of mind comes to be, etc. So as to develop the requisite wisdom and understanding, leading to the subsequent awakening via insight into phenomena, into the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, anatta, especially the anatta universal characteristics. For further detail, please do listen to the recorded talk. But this summary is already very good, clear enough. Huh? You have the understanding, you don't need to waste time on the detail, unless you still cannot really grasp it. Means you have yet to cultivate. You have developed the cultivation. All these lessons, the Heart Sutta teaching, you will have a lot of joy. You will like to continuously read it, repeatedly, yeah, and develop the contemplative understanding and the awakening. Yeah. Yeah, this type of teaching, you can't find, rare indeed. And they are so profound, so clearly expounded, shared to an understanding and wisdom. And this one you cannot find in any book. Or the sutta also never talk about it, because these are very deep aspects of the understanding, which the Buddha would never go into unless you have developed that type of mindfulness and heedfulness, like what he has done. And it's not easy, not easy. So all this teaching, if you have the condition to receive them, you should develop the appreciation, the gratitude towards it, and you should really cherish it, make full use of it, then work diligently, sincerely, and persevere towards realizing it. So this is the message for all serious cultivator and Kayana meters. Then today, remind me, I think Tammy has requested us to share merits with her late auntie, I think, the mother's sister. She was admitted because of stroke. Huh? So that part, we will do all this. Then the other thing also, there's some good news. Susan sent a message saying that birthday was already out of the operation yesterday, and he is recuperating in the CCU. So let us again share marriage, transfer marriage, and give him our pure wish. Then also thank you to all Kayamita for wishing them well-being and happiness, for having the appropriate good doctors, well-trained medical personnel, and beautiful condition for them to have a successful and plain sailing type of surgery for Brother Day. Then for Sister Ong Chui Hun, may she recover to good health. May she recover from her condition. Stroke is not easy to recover. You must relax. You must not hold on to things, stress and all those things. Then they need treatment. They need therapy. So for stroke, there are many types of therapy. But the most important one is to have a clear mind, without fear, without suffering, without anxiety or delusion. That's why I realized those with Dhamma, they are less prone to disease and all these things. But those who didn't really cultivate, most of them, they are very prone to all these occurrences. So stress is one of the most severe factor in arising all this. In fact, a lot of disease, even chronic disease, cancer, they arise from stress. Even stroke also same from stress. And stress is emotional negativity, suffering, misery, worry, restlessness of mind, all the mental hindrance, until they become very severe. Then you overwork the heart. Then you release that type of what they call negativity of fear, negativity of fear energy, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, grief, misery, all this type of negative energy. They will lower your immune system. They will cause your immune system to break down. Then you will enter depression. Then that fear is very intense, that negativity of energy. It is very eerie, very eerie. You have gone through that type of fear, you will understand. When you are very fearful and stressed out. I think in the younger days, when you go through life, maybe at a certain point in life, you may go through them. Then if you are aware and mindful, you can learn. You need not arise all those mind states. We are thinking it's just the way it is. Condition like that, things we like that. So learn to accept the reality of the moment, to be at peace with the moment. Then straight away, you can calm down. You can become peaceful. Then you don't have to carry this stress, misery, negativity of mind stay along with you throughout the day. How stressful is that? That is really suffering, misery. Do wake up. Do not be asleep anymore. That's why when you are mindful and when you are very sensitive, the slightest discomfort, I use the word slightest, you can feel it. Then how can you be in a state of emotion and suffering and misery and fear? You can't. Your mind is so sensitive. That's why mindfulness is very important. It's so sensitive. Even later on, when you develop the ability to relax, when you are not relaxed, you straight away aware. You understand. You are not relaxed. Then you will learn how to relax. And you will develop the deep relaxation, and that will help you in your meditation. That's the reason why all this meditative training is a step-by-step training for you to develop a mind that is very sensitive, ever mindful, heedful, to have the ability to feel all this. Sensitivity of mind can only arise when you are completely quiet, attentive, silent, to feel, to be aware. That's it. No need to follow. Sankara anicang, sankara dukkang, you someone want to think for one. Later on you will understand, think also like that, don't think also like that. Then why do you think? And all this thinking are not something that is useful or conducive. It's like the analogy of the newspaper. You think the whole newspaper so thick with all the fine wording, how much of them are worth reading? You normally look at the title and interest you only, you read a bit. But most of it is all pakwa story. Then most of it is not much use. So don't go and waste your time. Your thought process is the same. Your form and mind is the same. Your memory is the same. So use it appropriately with understanding, with right view, arise only the right thought, the useful thought, appropriate, the right thought, which are wholesome, conducive, good for the many. Don't go and create all this deluded thought, wrong thought, that brings about suffering, misery, entanglement, delusion, that make you heedless and cause your mind to be so heedless, leading to all the suffering and the misery and the entanglement. That is not life to me. That is misery, suffering. If that is the case, then why do you want to come? But most people have no choice. They cannot choose to come. They have to come. Their karmically, karma conditioned them into rebirth consciousness, arising the next existence. And samsara to you is like unending. The wheel of birth and death continuously turning and turning and turning for eternity. And every time you come without the Dhamma understanding, you suffer and become afflicted and miserable. Is that the way you want your life to be? Is that how you want to come to this world? Or any of the existential world? For those who are enlightened, the awakened one, they will not choose this type of life. Where this is heedless living, misery, suffering. There is no life. Whereas the other aspect, when you understand the Dhamma, train your mind to be heedful, and when you are so beautiful, heedful living is so different. You can get to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And you can see things so clearly. That clarity of mind, the tranquility, the stillness of mind, the silence, the joy, the happiness, the beauty. You can experience them. They are so beautiful. That's why with the Dhamma, with wisdom, with Noble Eightfold Path, you become so different, so beautiful. So this is what life is all about. So hopefully, with all this sharing, you can understand, you can appreciate. Then you determine to change from now onward. It's no more like before, oh yeah, later lah, not now lah. When I retire, I do it. I go full time. This is deceiving yourself. Because domain of meditation is the here and the now. Any place, any time, anywhere, you can meditate. To meditate is to be in the state of heedfulness, awareness, mindfulness. When you can train your mind to be ever mindful, you are already in the meditative state, in the midst of life, in the midst of living your career, in the midst of work. Every aspect of it is meditation. Even my sharing with you, I am in a meditative state. Beyond my awareness, clarity, understanding is all there. The embodiment of all this beautiful mind state. There is no activity of my movement, sankhara. And this form of mind become very beautiful. And because of the transformed state of consciousness, the wisdom and the understanding, I can use this for my mind so beautifully. And every moment, every instant is so beautiful. And life is really beautiful, wonderful, meaningful. And there is so much joy. And when you have the karma, the parami, life can be really beautiful. You have the means for a lot of things. You can really live life to the fullest. You can experience a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of beautiful mind states and life experiences. Whatever that has the condition and you have the means, ability to have it, you can afford it. Why not? So all these are Very beautiful. What's the time now? Oh, 10:05, huh? Oh, just nice, huh? I think we are all... Oh, we are finished, huh? Complete. Okay, good. So at least I can summarize everything up, huh? So why not, before we open up for meditation, reporting, and Q&A, I will just do the sharing of merits and dedication of merits, so that I will not forget. Otherwise, later on, maybe we may not have the time. So let us recall to mind all of the good sharing and the wholesomeness that we have all developed together over the past 2 hours or so. Then may we rejoice in all this wholesomeness. Then may we share all this wholesomeness with all beings. Starting, of course, with dedication of merits and sharing of merits with our Kayamita. First is Brother Tay of Klan. He has just completed his triple bypass. I think he's recuperating in the CCU, in the Klan, one of the Klan hospital. So we wish him all the best, and may this wholesomeness pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for her to recover to good health, to recuperate to good health soon as possible. May no harm come to him. May the blessing of the triple gem to be with the day. He has been with us for quite long. I remember during the early years, we used to go to Klan for Dhamma talk. They invite me to give talk there for many years. And I remember Brother Gan and him both leading the Tiratana, their Buddhist society there. And every talk, Brother Tay will be the one that help in the how you address the person who introduce me and all those things. It's called it's like a host, like the MC. Then Padak Khan is the president, so he organized and all those things. Then sometimes Brother Tay not around, Brother Khan will take over. And we have very good encounters, and we have a lot of good encounters while we were having all this Dhamma sharing. Then we also met at this Sumero Way place, where the Lim's Way place. That Way place is very beautiful. I've been there many times. The energy there very strong. So all these are good conditions. So we wish him all the best. May the blessing of the triple gem be always with him, and may he recover to good health and recuperate beautifully so that he can give back his life. So normally for bypass, it's not easy, it takes time to heal. But with the Dhamma, with the faith, with all the blessing from all Kayamita, he should recover beautifully. Then also to Tammy's auntie. Is it auntie? Ong Chui Hun. The last two names same as our Chui. Chui also Chui Hun, except the spelling is different. Here, the auntie's spelling of Chui is C-H-O-I, whereas our Chui is C-H-W-E-E, but it has the same meaning. So we wish Ong Chui Hun, Tammy's auntie, all the best, and may the blessing of the triple gem to be with him, with her, and bless her. Then also, may all the pure wishes and the good wishes of all Kayamita, together with our sharing of merits, arise the causes and conditions for her to recover to good health and good state of mind, so that he can gain back his life. May she recover from her stroke condition gradually, slowly, and beautifully. So let us rejoice. sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then now we will share merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva jirang rakantu lokasasana etavata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatkalena sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha and all the great beings. Then after that, we can have the second session, which is meditation, reporting, and Q&A, question and answer. You can ask whatever question that is related to the meditation or the teaching. And also how you can apply this teaching to help you understand life and work whatever life problem that you may have. Okay, now we will open it up. You can just come in. Wave your hand or give a sign, thumbs up or whatever. Tell me, yes.
Hello, what are you?
Yeah, I can hear
this
you.
This is Tammy.
Yes. Yeah? Yeah.
The line wasn't that good. Like, I just have a few things I would like to ask, what are you?
Can, no problem. We can hear
okay,
you.
First of all, I thank you for the sharing of merits. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're almost welcome. Because she has the condition and affinity as she was once with us at the Cameron retreat.
Yes. The thing I want to ask is because my auntie, I think her mind is still active, but just that she couldn't talk and then her limbs are quite weak. So that create a lot of frustration in her, like she cannot convey what's in her mind out, and then we try our best to figure out ways for her to communicate with us, So
definitely.
I just wanted to know what. I wanted to know like how can I the question is how can I nothing to do, what should I tell her that so that she is more calm and then maybe she can do simple things, easier things like that. Yeah.
You can do many things.
Thank you.
Thank you for your good question. I will answer you. You say, Tammy, with your Dhamma understanding, you know, you can also sense that she is not in that mind state. She has a lot of frustration, unhappiness, because when you are down with stroke, when a lot of things you cannot do, that untrained mind that is heedless, because she is not really, I think, strong in the cultivation, because I don't think she really cultivate, if I'm not wrong. But your mother different. Your mother actually have a lot of faith in the last few years. she become very different. Your mother improved a lot. If she had followed your mother's way, she will not land up in this stroke incident. But never mind. Everything is meant to be, will be coming and all those things. So what you can do is to give her the faith, the understanding, the joy. You should hold her hand and tell her, don't worry, we understand. Have faith in the Triple Gem. Have faith that you will recover. Calm yourself down. Well, now it's not easy for her to meditate, but you must give her faith. Hold her hand sincerely and tell her. How do you address her? Yeah. How do you address her? Demi? You can unmute her.
Second auntie, GE.
Oh, yeah. Oh, then does she has any kids or children?
No, she is single.
Not married, huh? Like that, you can do your part. You are like Man Yuan. Man Yuan also go on auntie. She take care until she really pass away. But that one old age, huh? Your auntie is how old?
1954, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, same year as me. Wow, 66 plus, going to 67. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, tell her don't worry, still young. she can still recover. Huh? Give her faith and tell her Kayamita has sent her blessing, she will recover. Huh? Then hold her hand. Then if she is close to your mother, tell your mother to talk to her too. Then tell her don't worry. You can't speak now is because of what happened. So wait for them to do the therapy. Then tell her to relax and calm herself down. Because no amount of sorrow, lamentation, and unhappiness or frustration can help her. These are the mind state that make her worse. She can hear you. She can understand you, although she can't speak. Then you can look at her face. She will calm down with joy and all that. Then tell her you will recover if you follow what you advise. Relax. Be at peace. Whatever happened, already happened.
Mm.
Past is already gone. So from now onward, change. To change is to develop the cultivation. Follow the advice of the Buddha. To avoid all evil, do good. Have beautiful mind state. Develop all the appropriate thought process, relax, silent. Now you cannot talk. It's because you are trapped in the physical body by the stroke condition. Well, our human body, it also is a mechanism. If certain part spoil, it will lose its ability to function that well, like your car. So you need to service it. You need to repair it or do something. So the therapy is the first line. Then if you know of anybody who can like help the massage, or some, they say the some people with the chi massage, they can help. I was told. I think you can contact Yun Chan. Last time Yun Chan Yun Chan must be the brother, I think. Also stroke, very severe. But finally, so lucky, you know. I think Yun Chan helped him and he turned around and he was there in UH for many months. Then finally completely recovered. You know? And I don't know whether it was Raymond's brother or Yun Chan's brother, I forgot already. You check Yun Chan. Then Yun Chan knows somebody who can do help in the massage and all those things. So all this may help, but the hospital has their own medication or their own treatment. So you should actually find out more and have second opinion. Then see what works. Mind state is very important. The medical treatment also very important. But sometimes it's coming also. If you don't get the right advice and the right people, you may not recover so fast. But if your mind state is good, you can calm her down, let her understand more, and give her faith and understanding, she will pull through and come out of it beautifully. So talk to her in a very nice manner so that she can feel your love, your sincerity, your kindness. And all this will give rise to gratitude in her joy. Then all the negativity of mind state remind her, it will not help her recover if she continue to dwell with that. Accept the reality and move on. Move on with a calm mind, peaceful mind. Learn to relax. Relax is most important. You can relax, the therapy, the massage, all will work better. Then with all the blessing of Kayamita, you tell her she is going to recover. But she has her own role to play too. If she don't want to be helped, then no amount of help can help. But if she wants to be helped, she has gratitude and joy and understanding, it can really bring forth the condition. Then ask her to make some offering, donation to Triple Gem, to Kayamita Fund, then transfer marriage, share marriage, and invoke power of marriage for her to have the causes and conditions, the good, to recover the good mind states. That one can help. So do the three things. Sometimes you need to ask for forgiveness. Your mother on her behalf can also do. You on her behalf can also do. Then after that, advise her that when she recover, she can also do on her own. So now maybe with the stroke condition, she can silently recite in her mind. You get the chanting book and show it to her, whomsoever from the distant past, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that she has caused any karmic negativity, suffering or misery or mistake. She would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. And may this sincere forgiveness be accepted by all. Then wish them all well-being and happiness. You don't have to speak it out silently in the mind. You recite for her so that she can follow. So all these are helpful, useful. Then vow not to repeat all this negativity of mind states anymore. Vow to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. Yeah, keeping precept. Not wanting to be sad anymore, unhappy anymore. These are all wrong thoughts. Then cultivate more wholesomeness, joy, happiness, gratitude, contentment. Cherish whatever that she has, like you as a niece that is so loving, helpful and kind, and your mom. So have this understanding in her and cherish whatever she received while in this condition. These are her good karma and good parami, otherwise all this cannot happen. Okay? Yeah. Can understand, tell me.
Yeah. Can. Thank you so much for the view.
Yeah.
I started wrongly. He born in 1955.
Oh, like same age as my wife, Mrs. Steele. So don't worry, she's younger somehow. She will recover, 60 something is considered young now.
Yeah.
And most people...
It is very beneficial.
She is what?
I say your advice is very beneficial
very
and timely.
Timing. Very good. Sadhu, rejoice. So try it out, Tami. This is how you put the Dhamma into practice. Hold her hand.
Thank you so much, Rav.
Then share this talk. You can let her listen. She will have a lot of joy, a lot of faith. She will cherish every moment of it. When you can cherish, you will have good life and happy and the mind state all different, then you won't go and think the negative thought, the heedless thinking, the frustration, the misery, the unhappiness, all this no more. That's why Dhamma can work miraculously, amazingly, beautifully. Yeah, tell me, you want to say something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that tomorrow morning, because they put something in her mouth, so tomorrow morning they are trying to pick a hole near the lungs there to have the phlegm.
Yeah, yeah, suck it out. They have to suck it out, yeah.
They have one operation.
I saw them do to the patient.
They have to suck it out
through the vacuum, vacuum suction pump. Otherwise,
yeah, but now they want to operate.
Yeah, yeah, sometimes has to operate. In fact, my elder brother's son, when he got that stroke, he also collapsed. He younger some more. That time he was only 40 years old, I think. Oh, and he was in a book library, I think. It's not really library. A bookstore where they borrow this swordsmanship type of wuxia xiaosuo type of storybook. Then luckily the owner know him. He just had a stroke and collapsed there. You know. People thought he died already. Then they quickly admit him to the nearest hospital. Then the hospital sent out SOS. You know, because nobody can really save him. Then finally, only two hospitals responded now. One is Sunway, and the other one is, I think, UH, I don't know, I forgot already. They sent him to Columbia Private Hospital. Then they send out the SOS, but they don't have the specialist, the doctor, but this one, the brain one, is very difficult. Then the Sunway one was very good. No? There was a doctor from UK trained one. Somehow the karma very good. He ended inside there. Then this specialist did a CT scan, then told my brother that he has to do an operation. And two or three operations, one of them is like taking the phlegm out. Well, that one was, I tell you. If you see that, you may faint now or what. They not only make a hole, they like the whole throat there, they insert don't know what, and draw out the phlegm, so much of those phlegm. No? Because this guy smoke, drink, and very fat, obese. Then the operation was quite risky, actually. According to the specialist, he said, touch wood, he said, if everything successful, then you have good blessing. Otherwise, it may affect. Well, he, as a surgeon, he also cannot guarantee you. Yeah? He said there are certain cases where they do the operation. Where is the brain there? It may affect his hearing or his eye, blindness and all those things and other things, other functions. Not functional, but it turned out very successful operation. Then he said cannot drive at least 6 months, and later on now he recovered 1 year already. Now he can drive already. Then he was very lucky, you know. His insurance normally coverage very low. Then his friend who is the insurance agent that year before he got the stroke. Don't know why, go and tell him, hey, you 40 already, you better increase your insurance. So he increased his insurance to 200,000. And the whole operation, I used up the whole 200,000. He was in the Sunway Specialist Center for quite a while for a few operations. But the doctor was very good. I forgot the name already. If you want, I can find out. But where is your auntie now?
He's in Pantai Hospital,
Bangsa. You have to find out. Oh, but her case is not serious. Her case, she's conscious, isn't it? It's only she has stroke phenomenon.
Yeah, conscious.
Then okay. Well, my brother's elder son, he was unconscious for a while. Then they did the CT scan, everything. Oh. Then he was completely knocked off. Oh, cannot talk, cannot speak. Mm. The mouth was so twisted, everything. Oh, then like my brother and my sister-in-law, at first they thought difficult already based on what happened. But miraculously recovered because I think good blessing and good karma. And everything fall into place. That's why my brother and my sister-in-law was full of joy. Then finally, and he was so heavy, the weight. I tell you, hell of a beast. Easily near to 80 or kilo. Really heavy. And when he was going through the operation, everything, his weight went down almost 10 over kilo. But after he recovered, he came back his weight very fast. That's why not disciplined. So my elder brother warned him, he said, your life, if you don't take care, you have to face it. Because 40 years old already, how to advise him? They are alive, they have to make that decision. But yeah, at the moment, he is doing very well. He can drive, he can eat, he can do other things. So don't worry, many people recover. Okay, anything else that you want to ask?
Thank you. The stories are very...
Okay.
The story is very encouraging.
Yeah,
again,
yeah,
thank
yeah.
you so much.
Father, rejoice.
Po Cheng, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can come in. Yes.
Quite able to answer your question, such an important question.
Oh, okay. Father, yeah.
Actually, this hospital is very, very meaningful. And
yeah.
As I read it now, I mean, after, you know, what happened to me, right?
Yeah.
I find a lot of joy.
Yeah.
And everything is like, wow, so...
Yes,
nice, so
priceless
cool.
gem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you can understand, because you have that capacity to understand. It's really a priceless gem. A lot of people don't understand this Heart Sutta book is really a priceless gem. Last time I used
but
to tell them.
But the problem is when you don't understand, is it?
Correct.
That's the problem.
Yes.
Just like me, when I was reading in the past, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand, you know?
Don't worry. When the time comes, when you understand, you appreciate every bit of it.
I understand why normal people, ordinary people cannot appreciate or understand.
Oh, definitely. Because without mindfulness, without the heedfulness, without the stability or awareness, they can't. It's
we
that
have to
way.
Try to understand what you say. You
correct.
Know, in class, you know?
Without that sati,
you can understand.
Yeah, without the sati, they can never understand. They can never see. Because what they try to understand is knowledge, words. And that is not the real thing. That's why the daily mindfulness is a must. The stability of mindfulness, sensitivity of mind. Now I go deeper into it to explain all this is because people have the condition to understand now. Last time, they can't even understand basic. You go deeper, they lagi blur. But now it's different. Now because quite a number of kayamita has done it, has the ability to appreciate what this thing is, then I can go in deeper for their benefit and also for other people's benefit, cultivator who later on transform and develop the understanding. Then when they listen to all this sharing, it becomes very different again. And it will lead to penetrative understanding and awakening. And all this sharing you cannot find in the book, in the Dhamma book. You hardly find them. Where this one
yes,
is.
Yes, I agree. You cannot
yeah,
find it.
Yeah, you cannot find it. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So with your sharing, actually, it kind of like so helpful. In fact, very grateful to you, Brother Teo, that, you know, based on our meditation experience, right, Brother
yeah.
you can connect. You can
yes.
tell us, you know, exactly what we experience.
Yes, yes,
whatever
yes.
Whatever we tell you, you also can
yeah.
explain to us.
Because my nature has gone through.
Confidence and
yes.
joy, understanding. understanding,
yes,
and all
yes,
that.
Yes.
Wow, there's somebody who can understand what is going on in my mind, you know,
very good.
Venus nature,
yes.
You know?
If
you tell somebody else will be thinking, you've gone crazy.
Yeah, cuckoo already.
Yes, correct. So, this is very important.
Yeah, sadhu.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Rejoice. Somebody else, they think you're crazy.
Yeah, well, they can't understand. They say, where got such thing one? Meditation
yes,
have become
exactly.
like that one. Huh?
Yeah.
Can be so amazing,
that,
one, so beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, wildest, beyond your wildest imagination. That is true.
You are in your wildest imagination.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have a lot of gratitude and joy that.
My nature rejoiced too. Yeah. Sadhu.
Explanation and
yes.
telling us that we have not gone crazy, you know.
Yeah. You are definitely beautifully progressing. Yeah. Yeah, sadhu.
Thank you very much, brother.
Yeah. Thank you for your good sharing.
And, yeah.
Sadhu.
And the rest of us and for me as well, you know, should I suffer
yeah.
into some silly stuff?
Yeah. That's how you learn. You go through, you understand, then now you can help people. You become a blessing, a source of faith for others to move.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, for telling us, for sharing and guiding us, you give us a lot of confidence
yeah.
on the right path.
Correct.
So very
yes.
important, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, that we are not lost, still lost and struggling.
Yeah, and
so all this sharing and guiding us
yeah.
in meditation, you know.
Yes.
Is of great help, you know.
Yeah. Most
yeah,
beautiful and great
much.
Help.
Thank
yes.
you very much.
Sadhu. And you will also come to understand yourself, appreciate yourself, that it can be so amazing, like in your own
yes,
words.
Yes.
You say,
yes.
everything just happened like that. Without going back to knowledge, the brain, the memory, the understanding just unfold. That awareness nature is so powerful, and you can see your mundane mind's movement, then you can understand what happened. Then after that, the delusion no more. It can no longer delude you, condition you into negativity. It's like slow motion. You can stop the thing. You want it to move, it moves. It doesn't want, you can stay there. And then it has no more power over you. And such meditation, where to find? This type of understanding, where to find?
Yes, brother, that is so amazing, huh?
Yeah.
You can stop it and
yeah.
Wow, you see all this rubbish coming out.
Yeah.
You can stop it and
correct.
And never come back again.
Yeah, never come back again, one.
Never come back again.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, you are completely transformed. Huh?
Yes.
It's no longer the old mind anymore. Completely transformed.
But brother, like
yeah.
what you said, we must really, every kayamita really must follow this.
Yeah.
Correct.
You cannot liberate your mind. You cannot free. Yes. Because the habitual tendency keep on coming back on. Keep on coming back. The old way of living life.
For me, my experience is straightening the view.
Yeah, most important. You did that a lot, which is very beautiful.
I did a lot of it. Yeah.
Correct. Because when that understanding stabilizes, you become different. It will never come back again. Then you can talk about it, share, discuss, and later on you will have the ability to actually use your own words to describe all these things to people, which is most beautiful and most amazing. Mm. Sadhu, once again, we rejoice. Let us all rejoice. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, good. I think we should end.